MGM. Now, for 2011, they embraced the golden age of Hollywood film musicals in a concert called Hooray for Hollywood. From Astaire and Rogers to the beginnings of the 1960s, the great American film musicals come to life again at the BBC Proms. Tomorrow night at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, tomorrow evening in the Lebrecht interview, Norman Lebrecht's guest will be Edward Gardner, music director of English National Opera and soon to be principal guest conductor of the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra. And that's here on Radio 3 at 10:15. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and online. Time to join Julian Joseph for this week's edition of Jazz Lineup.
Clearly, if you listen to this record, you're going to hear a lot of jazz and a lot of grooves and textures and atmospheres that may remind you of styles other than jazz.
The voice of Joshua Edmonds speaking about his current release, James Farm. And there's more from Joshua in conversation with Claire Martin a little later on. Also, Jazz Lineup recorded the duet between Paola Vera and Andrea Vicari at the Pizza Express Steinway Festival, and plenty of new releases and classic jazz tracks. To start, a pianist and composer always responsible for music of great urgency and poignancy. Captured live on her latest album, Jerry Allen's band has bass, drums, and what is described as tap percussion. A tap dancer is included in the lineup, reconciling the dance into the creative band process, and she calls her band Timeline. This is their take on the usually contrapuntal Charlie Parker classic, Alucha. pianist Jerry Allen and Timeline captured live and their percussive feast on the Charlie Parker piece A Lucha. Timeline are Kenny Davis on bass, Casa Overall on the drums, and Maurice Chestnut on tap percussion. Good to hear her on top form in good company. And Jerry Allen and Timeline Live is out now on the Motema label. Saxophonist Mark Lockhart is a creative force on the British scene. We're going to hear from his album on the Edition label a few years ago called In Deep. Making up the cast of players is pianist Liam Noble and the excellent bass of Jasper Hoiby, with Dave Smith on drums and Dave Prizeman on the trumpet. This is Believe It or Not.
Thank you.
A steady pulse from the tenor of Mark Lockhart and Believe It or Not from the album In Deep. A few years old now, it's still out on Edition Records and features the talents of Dave Priseman on trumpet, Liam Noble on piano, Dave Smith on drums, and Jasper Hoiby on the bass. And if you enjoyed that, you can catch the Mark Lockhart group on Tuesday the 30th of August at the 606 Club in London. A bit of up-to-the-minute jazz lineup news for you. Jazz Lineup are mounting a concert at our BBC Scotland studios in Glasgow on Friday the 30th of September in the evening. It's a live broadcast to all of our colleagues in radio stations via the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union. Playing live that night will be the Brian Kellock Trio, Konrad Wisniewski and his quintet. Konrad played in the annual EBU Jazz Orchestra back in 2004. Tickets for this event are free by going to the BBC ticket line at bbc.co.uk/tickets. That's bbc.co.uk/tickets. That programme will be heard here on Jazz Lineup, but if you want to be there for the live transmission to Europe, join us on Friday the 30th of September in Glasgow. More details are on the Jazz Lineup homepage via the Radio 3 website. Now it's time for big band orchestral music in the hands of pianist and bandleader Stan Kenton. Kenton was an artist who was ambitious and proud of his music and the jazz art form. He was at the forefront of what is now described as the third stream, where influences, compositional devices and forms absorbed from classical music were experimented with, keeping the jazz spirit and other jazzisms intact. This is The Opening. We'll be right back. The Stan Kenton Orchestra, On Fire with the Opening, a composition written and arranged by tenor man Bill Holman. From the album Festival, recorded in 1954 at the Civic Auditorium in Portland, Oregon. And Claire Martin will be singing with the BBC Big Band at the Proms on a programme that will feature the music of Stan Kenton. So make sure you catch that late night prom on the 7th of September with Claire Martin and the BBC Big Band. Staying with Kenton, I'll be presenting the BBC Big Band at the Royal Northern College of Music on Tuesday the 18th of October in Manchester, where the band, under the direction of Jigs Wiggum, will be performing Kenton's version of West Side Story, among other pieces. So put that date in your diary. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. We are online, on FM and on DAB Digital Radio. From the 18th of September, this programme, Jazz Lineup, will be starting at the earlier time on Radio 3 at 11 p.m. and will run to 12:30. That's our new time and earlier start of 11 p.m. from the 18th of September. When saxophonist Joshua Redman forms a band, he does so for the music to effortlessly evolve, and there could be no better example than on Joshua's current CD, James Farm, with pianist Aaron Parks, bassist Matt Penman, and drummer Eric Harland. Claire Martin met up with them recently, and we'll hear that conversation after we hear the track Kronos from that album. Thank you.
That was the track Kronos from a new band touring the US and Europe this summer, and it's a collaborative featuring saxophonist Joshua Redman, pianist Aaron Parks, bassist Matt Penman, and drummer Eric Harland. And together they're called James Farm, and I'm very pleased to say that Joshua Redman, hello Josh.
Hey Claire.
The pianist, the wonderful Aaron Parks, hello Aaron.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And bassist Matt Penman, hello Matt.
Hello there.
And they're all joining me now down the line from New York. But you guys, let's talk about the band. You weren't strangers before James Farm, were you?
No, I'd say that, I mean, we'd all played together in a lot of different contexts. Eric and Matt had played together with Josh in a lot of different groups in this SF Jazz Collective, in some of his own bands. I'd played with both of them under things that they'd both organized. We'd all sort of been in the same circle.
Mm. And on the Invisible Cinema, they were the rhythm section.
Exactly. Yeah. On my record, Invisible Cinema, Matt and Eric, there's a natural rhythm section thing that happens. And then bringing these two things together.
Yeah, I think you and I, Aaron, had never played
together.
We'd never played a note of music together, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Matt had to change.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's going well, is it? Well, all of you have got very varied musical influences that you bring to the material that you do. So tell us about the different influences that are on this new debut.
I think it's very difficult to list specific influences, stylistic influences, when I'm talking about really any music, but especially talking about music that I'm a part of. Because, you know, I know when I write music or when I play music, I'm never thinking about those things. I'm never thinking about, okay, like I'd like to bring in, you know, a little bit of Sonny Rollins, little bit of Radiohead. You know, it's not that, you know, music for me is about, I mean, trying to find something creative and genuine and honest to say in the moment, if it's jazz, through improvisation. Mm. So, I think clearly if you listen to this record, you're going to hear a lot of jazz and a lot of grooves and textures and atmospheres that may remind you of styles other than jazz. Mm. I think, you know, we all listen to all different sorts of music.
Exactly.
And you all write for everybody's, put pieces forward for the end result, and that's quite unusual, isn't it? Especially, I mean, you know, all of you writing, so that's a real original thing. I was quite impressed with
writing and composition is something that's important for everyone in the band, and kind of a part of what makes up their musical personality, and part of the reason that the band got together, because we all love each other's writing as well as the playing, and kind of had this hunch that getting together was going to make the pieces even better, you know, like, which is the main reason you kind of do a band, is you think that like the other guys are gonna actually, that the end result's going to be better than like if you had put together a project by yourself. And you know, we're working on more kind of collaborative music making and advice and breaking down those walls of respect.
Yeah, do you bring the piece to the rehearsal studio then, or do you just have ideas and you just let it unfold, or do you actually have the piece written? How does that sort of organically happen?
I mean, it all depends on the context. There's certain pieces that we brought from the beginning, like the very first rehearsal that we did.
Yeah.
We brought in pieces, and sometimes we didn't even play those on the road for months afterwards, and it took a while for them to come back to life. In the case of Kronos, a song of mine, for example, that took a while for it to finish writing itself. I had been writing that song and knew that it was somehow for this band, but it wasn't done yet, so I needed to finish that first, and that came into being after playing with the guys for a while.
Which track is that?
It's a song called Bijou, the third track on the record.
Why don't we play it now? This is by Aaron Parks, and it's Bijou. That was James Farm and a piece by Aaron Parks called Bijou. And I'm thrilled to say three of the guys are on the line to me now. Joshua, I know the idea of the music is to be constantly evolving. So how often are you adding new material to the sets?
It seems like we've constantly been adding new material and reworking material. A lot of the songs really coalesced and became full-fledged songs through the recording process. Mm. So I'm really, for example, you know, we were talking about Kronos. I mean, I don't think we had ever played it the way it is on the record.
Or Polywog, for that matter. Yeah. The coda at the end of Polywog and the way that song transforms, it just sort of has taken on a very clear shape.
Yeah. And there's a lot of material that that we've kind of started playing songs that we started playing that we didn't record but that we'll probably start playing, and songs that we've written that we haven't had a chance to work up yet.
Yeah. So great.
A lot of work to be done.
Keeps you interested and on your toes, definitely. Well, you must be thrilled with the critical acclaim since your debut gig in Montreal in 2009. And I've read a press quote that says that James Farm could be one of those rare breakthrough bands like, you know, Miles and Brubeck, and that appeal to an audience beyond the jazz audience. So is that your intention?
I mean, that would be fantastic. I mean, we're interested in just having as many people dig our music as possible, whether it's younger or whether it's older. I mean, we're just, you know, we think we have something to say, and we're looking forward to, like, getting it out there. I mean, everyone's always talking about younger audiences in jazz, it would be great. I think there's probably, like, jazz is maybe a little behind when it comes to promoting itself to a younger audience, so that, you know, could be part of our
the profile on social networking and online presence and the whole, or is it because jazz musicians really are practicing so hard to become good musicians that they don't necessarily have the whole sort of marketing angle down? I mean, it's quite a lot, isn't it, that you have to do yourself when you're doing jazz. Is that what you mean about the profile of it?
Well, I mean, I think it's very complex, and sure, there's definitely some of that. And I mean, speaking for myself, I don't always update my social network. My social networking skills are sometimes left behind while I'm just reworking a song over and over again. I don't always keep on that. Nonetheless, I think that there is an audience right now which is very open-minded right now, and open to hearing all sorts of different types of music. It's a little bit harder. Jazz still comes with certain associations, and you know, the word jazz, to some, makes you think of, like, something a little uptight, a little bit exclusive, a little bit
just highbrow.
Highbrow in a way, and not music that's for the people. And I think anything that can be done to help change that perception is a good thing.
I mean, I'm looking at the tracks on your album. I mean, some of them are, you know, like the 1981 track that you've written, Matt, that's eight minutes and nearly 9 minutes long. I mean, that's a big ask for a listener. So I mean, it's that kind of thing I was thinking of, whether you're appealing to an established jazz audience but also trying to get new people in, which is very important, I think.
We've got a balance of that. We've got some songs which are also very short.
Yes, I was just about to say, you have got other stuff. Joshua, you're very busy with many different projects. I mean, is touring something you still enjoy doing, and are you looking forward to this tour with James Farm?
Absolutely. I mean, I love playing music for people live. That's what I love making records. But that's what it's all about for me as a jazz musician, is getting out there and playing these songs and playing with the musicians that I love and being in the moment and improvising and playing for people. So, you know, I don't always love being on the road. You know, and now I've got a family, I've got two kids, so it's hard to be gone from home.
How did, from New Zealand to New York, how did you end up there, Matt? Did you start out, you know, with an eye on actually getting across to America to play?
I definitely wanted to come to the States. I didn't really set my eye on New York. I didn't really know about New York, to be honest. I just wanted to kind of further my like music education, and I got a scholarship to Berklee College of Music in Boston, and I went there, and after a year I realized that down the road in New York was really where everything that I was that I had my eye on was taking place. So I just hopped on a bus, and I've been there ever since. It's been about 16 years.
So, guys, thank you so much for joining us, especially Aaron, who's flown across the Atlantic to be here for this interview. And we wish you so much luck with the tour and with the album. And we're going to go out now with a track, If By Air. Do you want us to tell us a little bit about that, Joshua, as it's penned by you?
I guess all of the songs that of mine on this album I wrote specifically for this band. I wrote them after I knew that we were a band. And I think this is the first one that I wrote.
Thank you very much indeed, all of you. And it's been a thrill to speak to you.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If by Air, taken from the James Farm CD. Joshua is on saxophone. The piano is played by Aaron Parks. Matt Penman is on bass, and drummer is Eric Harlan. The album is out now on the Nonesuch Records label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3. With me, Julian Joseph, we are online, on FM, and on DAB Digital Radio. Altoist Derek Nash is a founder member of the ensemble Sax Appeal. Jeff Gascoigne is on bass and Steve Brown is on drums. This is their sprightly version of Little Darlin'. The Neil Hefti classic Little Darlin', taken with a bit more pace than usual, by alto saxophonist Derek Nash. Joining him were Jan Lundgren, Jeff Gascoigne, and Steve Brown. And Derek Nash is playing the Orpington Golf Centre in Orpington, Kent, on the 1st of September. And so to our mini concert set, and this week we return to the Pizza Express, Dean Street, Soho in London, and the Steinway Festival that took place earlier this year. Looking at each other from across the pianos are Andrea Vicari and Paola Vera. Andrea Vicari emerged on the scene over 2 decades ago amongst a wave of pianists influenced by the contemporary work of the post-Bill Evans superstar pianists. After establishing a solid performing career, she gradually moved into education and has forged a very effective approach to jazz education. Paola Vera is a musician very much more in the singer-songwriter mold, with a sophisticated understanding of harmony and melody in song form. We're going to play you the opening 3 items from their set, and they're all compositions by Paola Vera. Incidentally, Paola is on the left and Andrea Vicari is on the right of your stereo image. The first song is Addicted to My Love.
I got you addicted to my love. I got you hypnotized. Got you addicted to my love. Better get on your knees and pray, 'cause you're addicted to my love. Better plead for help above. I got you wrapped, you're trapped, you can't get away. Trip don't come for free. I'll give you my treat, my cherry on the top. Feel me rushing through your veins, that rush that never stops. I got you addicted to my love. I got you hypnotized. Got you addicted to my love. Better get on your knees, cause you're addicted to my love. I better plead for help above. I got you wrapped, you're trapped, you can't get away. You addicted to my love. I got you. you can't get away. I shouldn't do that, get flooded out of the you can't get away. Just go. With a tune called Panama, taking you to an exotic land. This is features Andrew's interesting piano technique. Tales from a foreign land, a place with gold dust down in the sand. Trees grow up so high, butterflies fill the sky their clothes, and I saw paradise. I knew I had to go. We sailed the raging sea, crossed burning deserts. Searching for Panama. can't help thinking this wild exotic journey was the treasure all this time. We sing
song I'm going to sing, it's called Neverland, and its theme is really about not ever wanting to grow up, which I'm sure a lot of you can probably relate to. And so here we are, Neverland. Thank you.
That was Neverland, written by Paola Vera and played by Paola and Andrea Vicari. That set was recorded at the Pizza Express Soho in London earlier this year. Well, it's been a few years since there was a solo recording from virtuoso bassist Charnett Moffett, who appeared on the scene a year shy of 30 years ago as a young 15-year-old on the debut Branford Marsalis album. Well, he's back, and this is The Things of Swing. Bassist Charnet Moffett and the Things of Swing from his new recording Treasure, out now on the Motema label. Kazimir Liberski is on piano, Rodney Holmes is on drums, Stanley Jordan makes an appearance on guitar, and Orin Etkin is on bass clarinet. There's a series of classic recordings titled Originals being released on the Impulse label. Now, one of the great recordings of all time is the collaboration between John Coltrane and Duke Ellington. Pieces like In a Sentimental Mood, Big Nick, and the piece we're going to hear are not only standards, but borrow the template of their approach on this recording. This is Take the Coltrane. Thank you. The great John Coltrane with the iconic Duke Ellington and Take the Coltrane from their classic 1962 recording, Duke Ellington and John Coltrane. Jimmy Garrison was on bass and Alvin Jones was on drums. And you can catch this in the original series out on Impulse. Well, that's it for this week. Join me next week for a jazz lineup special program recorded recently at the BBC's Maidervale Studios, where we celebrate the 70th birthday of Henry Lowther. He performed with two of his bands, Still Waters and the Great Wee Band. Monday night's Jazz on 3 is Subversive New York Quartet, Mostly Other People Do the Killing, in concert. Till next week, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. Villa Betran in Catalonia had the honour, or rather part of it did, of being painted by a 9-year-old Salvador Dali. More to the point, it hosts annual Schubert Yards, and for this opening hour tonight we're at one of them, to be exact in the parish church of Santa Maria in Villa Betran, for a selection of song by Mendelssohn, Strauss and, of course, Schubert himself. The soprano is Moitza Ertmann and the pianist Gerald Huber. And they set off with seven of the Mendelssohn songs. This first of them, Das erste Veilchen, the first violet, spring's herald that the poet clasps to his or her swelling, hoping breast.
Thank you.
Mendelssohn's songs in order of appearance: Das erste Weilchen, der Blumenstrauß, wenn sich zwei Herzen scheiden, Zuleika, Gruß auf Flügeln des Gesanges, and at the end, Der neue Liebe. The soprano Moitza Erdmann with pianist Gerald Huber, and they turn now to a Baker's Half Dozen by Richard Strauss. First here, Schlechtes Wetter, a spoilt girl watching her devoted mother venturing out into the dreadful weather to buy the ingredients to bake her a cake, while she sits around doing, well, not very much.
Das ist ein schlechtes Wetter, es regnet, stürmt und schneit. Ich sitze
die Treppe hinuntergesprungen.